Good evening. It's good to see everyone out this evening. We're going to talk a little bit about Psalms 107. We might skip around a little bit, but the majority, if you want to turn over there, we're going to talk a little bit about that. The Thanksgiving season has jumped upon us, and that's where we're at. And so talk a little bit about Thanksgiving for God's unfailing love, as this psalm talks so much about. Psalms 107 celebrates Israel's return from exile in foreign lands. And so let's just go into it a little bit. Psalms 107 verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south." It starts out with this grateful acknowledgement of God's unfailing steadfast love for his people. And this world, although we know that this world is a hard world, sometimes this world can be full of love, but most of the time the love that this world offers is conditional love, whereas God's love is unconditional. Love in this world just lasts for a little bit, but God's love endures forever. And we see that spelled out for us too when we get over into the New Testament. Paul would say things to like the church in Rome. He would say, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" In Romans 8:35. The great thing about Psalms 107 that we're going to look at is that it shows sort of four pictures that illustrates to us of God's unfailing love. So that old saying of a picture being worth 1,000 words, we'll try to not do quite that many, but we'll look at these four paintings that the psalmist here paints. Verse 4 of Psalms 107, it says, "Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things." God's love is unfailing because it never fails to replenish us when we need it. This part of the psalm, it paints that picture of a people wandering in the desert. They're lost, and they're looking for a home. In this quest, they seem to be even on the verge of dying. Sort of an interesting point that we can grasp about this psalm is that while this psalmist is speaking about a specific event or specific events, we can sort of take those unknown events known to us and apply them and those principles taught there concerning our own lives and our own situation. We can see a spiritual application as well as a time-specific application from the psalmist here. It's sort of a dual thing. And even though, to my understanding, we don't know the certain events that this psalmist is speaking of, we can see the wonderful applications that we could use in our life today. As the Israelites here were wandering and seeking a home, God replenished them. In other words, God provided for their needs, and God still does that for his people today. We are wandering around here looking for our real home, and God doesn't just let us die in the desert. God looks after us. He cares for us. God provides for us. Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 44, he would say, "I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Now, why would God do that? Why would God provide for those that aren't his, who may never to decide to be his? And I think there's a couple of reasons. And that first one is because God's love is unconditional and it's unfailing. And I think the second reason is what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:4, where he talks about God doesn't desire for anyone not to be saved. Paul would say in 2 Timothy 2:4 that a God who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody is going to do that. But it does mean that God desires for everybody to do that. And he's going to give them every opportunity to make that decision. And so God provides for us so that we can get to a time in our life when we would be willing to start making that decision. When the Israelites were released from Egypt, they couldn't shake the fear that God freed them just so they could be killed by that chasing Egyptian army. But that wasn't God's plan. God provided a way of escape, and later, while they were wandering in the desert, God continued to provide for their needs, even though they were at times at the least, they were stubborn, and sometimes at the worst, they were sinful. God will provide. And that's why we see this praise here in verse 8. Verse 8 is repeated word for word in verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. And when it says, "for his wondrous works to the children of man," that's meant to show the saving acts as representative of the many others in which God can do. And so if we pick back up here in verse 10, the psalmist says that some sat in darkness and in shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he shatters the door of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. God's love is unfailing because it doesn't fail to release us. Not all the captives were literally behind prison walls. But captivity, a lot of times, what was compared to imprisonment in books like Isaiah, verses 10 through 12 here paint a bleak picture of people sitting in darkness in the shadow of death. The situation seems to be pretty difficult, and we see a picture painted of people who did this more or less to themselves. We're told that they rebelled against the words of God and against his counsel. And again, because if the desire of the people was to turn from God, God didn't stop them. God allowed them to do that. But the people paid a price. But ultimately, the psalmist tells that the people called out to God for help. And God responds by releasing them or delivering them from their captivity. And again, not even though that the people turned from God here, we notice again that they rejected his words and his counsel. Yet again, our God didn't write them off there. And that's what he could have done, right? He could have said, "Your chances are up. I'm done with you." But that's not the way that God operates. And today, as Christians, we have a similar problem when we decide that we don't need God. He still allows us to pay the price for that rejection. But God's unfailing love always leaves that door open wide for us to come back and to enter into his presence without being rejected. Again, Paul would say to the church in Rome in Romans 5:8 that God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God will release us from the bondage of sin when we're ready to be released. There's no finger pointing or no I told you so's, but rather a set of open arms awaiting your arrival. And I guess with that being said, the longer you stay a slave to sin, I guess the more blessings that you miss out on, because we can spend so much of our lives enslaved to sin. So let's look at verses 17 through 22 here. It says, some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. God's love doesn't fail ever to restore us. And that's another picture here in those verses that aren't looking so good. The psalmist reveals that the people were bringing in sickness because of their own sinful ways. That Hebrew word sickness there, or sick, literally means fools. And so the following verses indicate that the psalmist refers to those who brought sickness upon themselves by their own foolish acts. These conditions were a result of their own sinful ways. But again, God doesn't forsake them. He restores them to health. Verses 19 and 20, we see a people crying out to God, and we see God restoring them, healing them of their sickness. When our soul is sick, God will restore and heal us from the effects of sin. John would say in 1 John 1:7 that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And so as we kind of finish up this evening, let's look at the last verses here of the psalm. Verse 23 says, some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. God's love doesn't fail, because it never fails to rescue us. And again, we see people in peril here. As a matter of context, we see that God's hand is in this storm. The seafarers are caught in the storm. God exhibited his unfailing love by rescuing them from the power of the storm. Verse 29 says, he made the storm be still and the waves of the sea were hushed. That's what God does for us. He can hush and rescue us from the storms of life. God is someone that we can anchor to. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 6:19 says that we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters in to the inner place behind the curtain. I think when we're going through those storms of life, so to speak, God was going to be there with us. Sometimes even when we cause those storms, God will still be there with us. God still has his hand in the storm, trying sometimes, I think, to get our attention, but God is always going to be there. God will rescue you in the storm. When we're facing the storms of temptation, God will be there as well. Paul would tell the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And you know, I think in a world that we live in, a world of uncertainty, the one thing that we can count on, the one thing that is certain, is that of God's unfailing love for his children. And so tonight we offer the invitation, if you're not a Christian and have came to that point in your life that you're ready to make that decision to put Christ on in baptism, now would be a time to come forward. If you have prayers that you would like to be have offered up on your behalf by the congregation, now would be a time as well to come as together we stand and we sing.